I have stopped having nightmares about it. But some years ago, I was taking my daily run in the afternoon, headed back to my church office, and the traffic was stopped at a very busy intersection. And I knew that even though the light was about to change, there were cars out in the left turning lane, and they would stop the other traffic from crossing, so I had a clear path to scoot across the intersection with ease. I'd done it 100 times. But this time was different. Barreling up behind that line of stopped traffic was a red truck that had no intention of being stopped by something so insignificant as a traffic light. Veered to the right, came flying through the intersection. And I realized the only impediment to its progress was me. They say that when you are dying, your whole life flashes in front of you. I don't know if that's true. All I had time to think of was, you're dead. But give the devil his due. As he came rocketing toward me, he managed to veer and missed me by a millimeter, going so fast I couldn't even catch his license plate. But after he passed, there, standing on the side of the road, was a nurse, just off from work in her scrubs. And she was clothed like this because she didn't want to see me get splattered. And when she opened her hands and saw I was alive, she looked at me as if I was a ghost. I winked at her, just ran on by without a word. But I had resurrection eyes. Suddenly, the colors of the road were much more vivid. The splashes of flowers, the blades of grass, the chirping of the trees, the birds. Suddenly, my entire senses had been enhanced and multiplied, and I felt extraordinarily alive. And this thought came to me. At the heart of all resurrection faith is the experience of wonder. I wondered at the gift of life. And I came back to my office and prayed the prayer with which I start every day. I thank you, my Lord, for another day of life. A couple of years later, I happened to run across a story of a police officer who had a little mole on his left ear, and his wife had been nagging about it. Go to the doctor, go to the doctor. No, it's nothing. But finally, just to get his wife off his back, he went to the doctor, and sure enough, it was skin cancer. They did an operation, he went through chemotherapy and was declared cancer-free. And his testimony was, when I walked out of that doctor's office, it was as if the world had changed. My perception of everything was so acute, so vivid, so alive. And I knew that every moment from that day forward was grace. At the heart of all resurrection faith is an experience of wonder. Many of our religious expressions come from people who have experienced the heights and the depths of life and have been left with resurrection eyes. I think of a young man born to extraordinarily rich parents in England. Had every advantage possible and spurned it all to go to India as a missionary. One Trinity Sunday, he wanted something to sing. He was a minor poet, and so he sat down and wrote the words you and I sang this morning. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, Reginald Heber, put those words down, created the hymn that we love. Shortly thereafter, he had a stroke while swimming and drowned. Think of a young man, very sensitive, very caring, had fallen in love with a beautiful young woman, and on the eve of their wedding, he watched her die in a tragic accident. It devastated him. He moved to Canada, began to spend his life working with the disabled, and then, to his amazement, fell in love with yet another beautiful young woman, only to have her die just before their wedding. If you look in our hymn book, you'll find that young man's name, Joseph Scrivener. He's the one who wrote the words, "What a friend we have in Jesus." He's the one who wrote the words, "Never be discouraged." Think of a headstrong young woman. She had been appointed a foreign missionary and then been told, "There are not enough resources to send you overseas." And she was burning up with anger inside and frustration. And she was at Wednesday night church, and one of the old saints that she respected so well said, "Lord, whatever happens to us, have thine own way with us." That evening, Adeline Pollard sat down and wrote the words we will soon sing in just a little while. "Have thine own way, Lord." Sometimes it's in the heights, and sometimes it's in the depths when we experience resurrection eyes. 10 days or so ago, we celebrated communion on Maundy Thursday. And on that occasion, our emphasis was indeed upon the tragic fog enveloping our Lord as betrayal and arrest and torture and death all lay before him. On that communion evening, our focus was upon our status as children of the first Adam, weak, vulnerable, sinful, flawed. Our focus on that evening was of the sorrow of our Lord as he prayed in Gethsemane, "Let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but thine be done." But on this communion, on the other side of Easter, our thoughts go to those hopeful words of Paul, those futuristic words of Paul. We celebrate this supper until you come, O Lord. We celebrate it as people of joy. We celebrate it as people who have experienced the Easter power of our God. We celebrate it not as children of the first Adam, but as children of the second Adam. Children of resurrection. Children of life. Children of future. Children of unbroken conversation with the living God. Children who are redeemed through the love of our Lord and who can claim faith, who can claim life through relationship with our Savior. We are children of the first Adam, but even more, we are children of the second Adam, free to be spiritual beings, free to be children of joy, free to partake of this table as those who experience God's resurrection power. May our status as children of the second Adam, give us resurrection eyes to see the grace and the wonder that suffuse every single day. For I received from the Lord Jesus what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Until he comes. I invite you to partake of our Lord's table. I remind you, as always, it's not Dr. Krimmer's table. It's not even the table of Vineville Baptist Church. It is the table prepared for us by our Lord Jesus Christ. Anyone, everyone who would claim Christ as Savior and Lord is invited to partake and to share in this communal meal of the saints who have been given resurrection eyes.